Welcome back to Planet Waves FM's continuing coverage of the People of the United Astrology Conference. My name is Eric Francis, your host for this marathon session of internet radio. We're beginning this at about 1:41 p.m. on the 27th, a Sunday of May, here in New Orleans. Welcome back. My guest for this segment is Alice Kashuba. She's an astrologer in Hollywood, Florida, down in the Miami-Dade area. And the contribution that has gotten her onto the program is a project called the Fairchild Symbols. We've almost all heard of the Sabian symbols that were channeled by the Reverend Dr. Mark Edmund Jones and Elsie Wheeler way back around, I guess, 1920 or so.
1925,
okay. And so that project became something. I wish I had a chart for the date. Is the date published that they did that?
Not that I know of. The person who would know probably is Linda Hill. She's the
person who's really the expert on
the Sabian
symbols. I'll see if I can
symbols.
Get her on the program tomorrow.
Right.
That would be a lot of fun. Linda's a lot of fun. Worth looking her up. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now there are a number of different degree symbol methods. Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with the modern ones. You've suggested that there are ones that are going back to antiquity, that this is not a new tradition. This is an older tradition in astrology.
Right. There, I think what had happened, a lot of the astrologers seem to have wanted to flesh out the degrees and give them a deeper meaning or perhaps a more common meaning that people could relate to. And there's a set of symbols that go back as far as the 17th century where the symbol is a very simple one-liner, something along the lines of, If your horse falls down, then that's an indication you will have you will not have very good
luck riding
luck,
the horse.
Right, right. And right. It's associated with a Sagittarius degree, by the way.
Right. Okay. So this it opens up the use of the zodiac as an oracle.
Right.
On one level, and it requires less rote memorization and more look it up and see where that planet is and something about that planet.
Exactly.
And then some of these symbols start to take on a life of their own, really. Maybe it seems in some way the whole Sabian symbol set has taken on a life of its own. It's probably the most used symbol set ever in astrology.
Exactly.
Printing presses. We have all this printing technology in the internet, and finally went out of print recently, Rudyard's version of the Sabian symbols, by the way, that book, An Astrological Mandala, according to David Rell.
Well, things like that you can still get on the internet, of course,
yes.
Through different bookstores. I think what I attempted to do with the Fairchild symbols was to bring it up to a little bit more up-to-date. For example, the Leo 25 degree in the Sabian symbols is the woman who has her hair bobbed. And in the 20s, bobbed hair for women was quite a
radical
thing.
Right.
Exactly. The symbol I have for 25 Leo, which my clairvoyant got, is the woman who is helping a man in a blue suit heal his chakras. And so my idea of that is that this is an opportunity for women to step forth and to participate more as in various different masculine or what we consider masculine type activities, like going to war. But at the same time, I think it's associated with bringing people into different role models. For example, now we have people, men who are staying home and taking care of the children, and women who are going to work. So it's another way, I think, of women to come forward in different roles.
Right. It's kind of the opposite of the hair bobbed symbol, mm-hmm. because that was a statement of independence.
Right.
And of a statement of sexual independence, really, mm-hmm. I think. And so in your degree, symbol of that degree, mm-hmm. the woman is more in a traditional helping role, balancing the chakras. Probably more women out there balancing chakras than men.
Right. And I think it brings in the whole idea of trying to heal the separation there is between the old matriarchal versus patriarchal concept and bringing those two ideas together. Helping, you know, I think it's almost like people trying to access their opposite side. If you're a man, you want to kind of get more into your feminine role. Women need to get more into the masculine role, which is I think goes back to Jung and his ideas.
Anima and animus, how we both contain both, something that astrology has always known, because every chart cast for every man and every woman has always had the sun and the moon and Venus and Mars. So we're not so segregated in terms of, you know, guys wear blue and girls wear pink type of thing.
Exactly.
So that's one of the ways astrology is way ahead of its time and always has been, basically.
Exactly.
The oldest psychology. Okay, so what you did was, using this concept, rechanneled with a clairvoyant whose name is not connected to the project on the outside, an anonymous clairvoyant is your co-author, rechanneled using the same method that was used by the Reverend Dr. Jones.
And Elsie Wheeler, exactly.
Which was to take, if I recall correctly, 360 index cards, put 1 degree of the zodiac on each one of those, shuffle the whole thing thoroughly, and then draw at random.
Yes.
Out of the pack. And then you go home and you put them back in order and you see what you got.
Exactly.
And the clairvoyant does not know the degree that they're channeling. You are looking at the number and name of the degree, the number of the degree and
that's
the sign.
On the card.
But the person channeling the degree is just going to wait for that first image to come into their third eye, whatever it comes into.
Right.
And that's what you did. You basically used the exact same method that Wheeler and Jones used. And they went fast. I think they had about a minute per symbol when you factor in the before lunch session, the lunch break, and then the after lunch session. They didn't really put a lot of time into them, and they didn't really need to.
Right.
How long did it take to channel yours?
We decided to do it in exactly the same time frame.
Fast.
So we started at 9:30. I think they started at 9:30 in the morning. And we went for a short time. We did about a quarter of the degrees, took a break, did the next set, had lunch, and then continued in the afternoon. And our goal was to finish at 4:30, which we did.
Right. And I'm sure in the process you found out how much 360 is.
Yes.
It's a lot. More than a dozen.
Right. One of the difficulties I had with my partner was sometimes he would just come out quickly with a degree. Other times he would start rambling off, and I had to find a way to draw him back without...
Jarring him
or cutting the connection that he was having.
Right.
So that was the challenge, I think, of that process.
Why are they called the Fairchild symbols?
We were at a garden in Miami called the Fairchild Gardens. It's located in South Miami, and it's famous for its palm trees, which is why we have a palm tree as our symbol on the cover. Mm-hmm. It's one of the largest collections of variety of palms in the world.
Right.
And so that was our choice, because we wanted to do it in a garden, because I think Elsie and Mark also did it in a
public park,
yeah, right.
In San Diego.
Right.
Yes.
So we're on the opposite side of the country in
warm,
a way.
But warm climate, working outside or in a natural environment.
Exactly.
Were you in a park or were you in a greenhouse?
It was in the park itself.
Got it.
We found a quiet place with a bench and a lawn, and so we just kind of sat there and worked on it.
Channeled away.
Right.
Basically.
Exactly.
So how has the whole experience changed you?
Well, in a number of ways. I think at first my associate friend, co-author, was very insistent that we do this project. And I was resistant at first. I thought, because he really wanted to do it in the same way that Elsie and Mark did. And I thought, oh my goodness, that's too much. That's too hard. But after a considerable length of prodding, we decided to do it. And that really started me on being much more... outgoing as far as a project that was mine that I could manage. It took me quite a while to put the symbols together and to flesh them out. And the other thing that's come out of it is I think it's gotten me more out into the community, the astrological community, and I've also learned a lot about publishing a book. My goodness, I didn't realize that was so involved. That's what it's done for me personally.
Right. And then astrologically, your perspective on astrology and on your charts?
I think, I had used the Sabian symbols quite a bit before. And the thing that helped me there is that the symbols, whether using the Sabian symbols or the Fairchild symbols, they're very helpful in sometimes getting across a point to a client. Sometimes doing an astrological reading can get a little technical or a little psychological, and every once in a while I would feel I was losing the client or maybe not making the connection. So I would look at a particular planet or degree that was involved in our conversation, and then I would pick the symbol for that degree. And sometimes this light would come on the client's face, and they would sort of get the whole idea of what I was trying to put across.
Right. Well, it's kind of like a parable. I mean, it illustrates the point. Mm-hmm. They're imagistic. They present you with an actuality.
Right.
Not an abstraction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're pretty interesting. Some of them require, in the Sabian, some of them require some real interpretation. They're not easy. The degree 29 Gemini, for example, is that? No, that's not the houseboat party. I wonder.
I think the houseboat party is Leo.
Is Leo? Well, that's where the eclipse was in 99. Was in the houseboat party,
right?
Which basically meant nobody paying attention to what was going to happen next. They were all at a houseboat party.
Right.
I wish I had that one memorized offhand. Where the moon was on 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Where the moon was on for the Boxing Day tsunami and earthquake in mm-hmm. Indonesia in 2004. The ascendant of the WikiLeaks chart, the south node of the moon during Fukushima, and then one of the Japan charts has that as a south node as well. It seems to be a chart that ties together a lot of really weird things. Now, I'm drawing a blank on what that degree is, but some of them you really have to give it time to get an association between the degree and the message.
Right, right.
And the quality of that degree.
The degree of the eclipse right now in my set of symbols is a well-used library. And Gemini comes out to Gemini 1.
The lunar eclipse.
Yeah, the lunar eclipse.
Oh, no, the solar was Gemini.
The solar was Gemini 1. And it just, I think it really just points to the whole idea that communication is based on having good information that's well-researched and that we can share with people. And to be open. And just it's the whole emphasis is really communication and getting our message across in an honest way.
Right. And having a sense of when you're understood, I think, also helps.
Yes.
And this is essential in doing the work that we're doing.
Absolutely.
Is the knowing what you're communicating and having a sense that it was heard in a way similar to what you intended, mm-hmm. knowing that everyone puts their own filter on things.
Right.
So the degrees have that property, too. I mean, people bring what they bring to the degree symbols. Some of them might be scarier. Some of them might push people's belief systems. Maybe they don't believe in fairies and the waterfall, you know, or nature spirits or something like that. But there's your symbol. There's your image.
Right. I have one degree that's a little bit difficult that I have problems with, and it's there's a herd of cows enclosed in a barbed wire fence. And it sometimes has this sense of being contained in a very dangerous kind of situation. But on the other hand, it can be very protective and keep out things that you don't want to impinge on your environment.
Right. Where is that symbol?
That's in Scorpio, I think. It's amazing. I keep trying to memorize these things.
You'll get there. That's an interesting symbol for Scorpio. It's kind of because of the symbol of Taurus possessed inside
right.
of Scorpio. It's
exactly.
kind of an interesting image of the relationship between Taurus and Scorpio and their different approaches to life. Yeah.
At this point, you know, I was thinking that I'm trying to now probably go more into relating the symbols more specifically to the different degrees, pulling in the energy of the sign and maybe the decanates or the dwads of the signs.
What are the dwads?
The dwads are the 2.5 degrees. In other words, decanates are the every 10 degrees of the sign.
Yep.
20 and 30. And then in between that, every 2.5 degrees is a dwad. So, for example,
there's 4 per decanate.
Right.
Therefore, there are 4 per decanate. Therefore, there's 12 kind of like little zones inside of each sign.
Right. And each one covers one of the signs of the zodiac. So, for example, if you have Virgo 10, from 10 to 12 and a half is Virgo. No, is okay.
It's connected with the sign.
Right.
Ah, because it repeats the zodiac.
Yeah.
Basically, within the sign, a little hologram of the zodiac is contained in each sign.
Exactly. So Virgo 10 is Virgo Taurus. It becomes Taurus when it gets to 10. And then from there you go to Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, and so forth.
Right. And they split degrees.
Yes.
Because of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Where does that system come out of? Is that another Babylonian method or is it more modern?
I think the Dwads are associated, I think, with some of the Indian idea of Dwad. I'm not sure how to say it. Dwad. It's one of the Indian Dwad degrees.
Got it.
It comes out of that, and it's then just pulled into the more modern.
Ah, so it's maybe out of Vedic.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Right. I've had a lot of Vedic astrologers on. I haven't known to ask them that. So
right.
If I have another one on, and they're all roaming. They're roaming around. There's a lot of pretty good Vedic astrologers here.
Yes,
actually,
I've noticed
the quality level has been really great.
Really
well,
great.
Well informed, mm-hmm. and well studied. We've had several of them on the program so far. Interesting. Well, the book is called The Fairchild mm-hmm. Symbols, and the author is Alice Kashuba, and the clairvoyant anonymous. That's different than the other anonymous that is now afoot in the world, but the anonymous clairvoyant. Do you think this person will ever come forward with their name?
He might. I keep trying to get him to come out, but he's not ready yet.
Right. Okay. Does not want to be known participating in astrology. Is that part of the interference?
No, I think he feels like it would interfere with his current business.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
If he's known to be involved in astrology.
Right.
Right. What kind of business is it?
He's in homeopathy.
Ah.
So he's a healer.
Oh, I can't see that hurting. I mean, if anything, we need to get our astrologers all studying homeopathy so that they know there's another natural system that that references the mental states, the conditions that we are in,
mm-hmm.
and the physical states that... I think they're perfectly parallel systems,
mm-hmm.
astrology and homeopathy. They seem to be one and the same in many ways, just using different modalities.
Right.
Right? I mean, in astrology we don't care about dolphin milk, but when you start to read about dolphin milk, you can start to hear a lot of things you've already heard about in an astrology chart. So they're very good at understanding their clients. I didn't put that in my manifesto for what a client, what a conference needs, but I think that the basic intake method used by homeopathy mm-hmm. is what I modeled my intake method off of, though I use Chiron, which is to basically have a very gentle interview with the client initially and find out their self-reported subject matter. And I learned this from my homeopath when she took the intake for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, this is just brilliant. This is so evocative. And then what the homeopath is doing is translating those things you say into little rubrics that they can then look up and see the patterns in the repertory.
Yes.
And then from that, they're going to get it down to three constitutional remedies, maybe two. Sometimes one just leaps off the shelf and lands on the desk. But I think that we have a lot to learn from homeopaths. And
I think they're
very good at organizing their knowledge in ways that we're not. And so anyway, it's interesting to hear that your partner on this is a homeopathic practitioner. So perhaps it's prejudice, but it gives me a little more respect for the project, which I will check out. Hey, it's a short enough book that I can actually read it, work with it, and use it every day without having to commit to an hour a night for the next 3 months. So, very good. Alice, thank you so much for joining us on Planet Waves FM. Okay, I have a feeling that this is going to wrap up our afternoon here at the United Astrology Conference, and we'll be back doing a few more interviews again on Monday morning, and then I will wrap up our engagement here, and I think I have one last gig after that, which is photographing the banquet and the awards that are tomorrow night. But that doesn't really involve you. I will definitely post some of those photos to a Flickr page, I guess, that might have happened that we'll be using. And in any event, signing off from today's coverage of the United Astrology Conference, my name is Eric Francis. You're listening to Planet Waves FM. Thank you. Catch you on a different day.